Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Gym Fear 138 podcast show thingy. There we go. My beer is trying to be difficult tonight. I actually went out and got some of that Sacred Heart IPA from Conquest Brewing Company. And I haven't tried it yet, so bottoms up. For an IPA, it's pretty good. For an IPA, it is pretty good. So, how have you all been this week? I've been pretty good. I hope that you are all doing well in Trump's America. So there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about this week, and the first thing is this whole fake news thing that you might have seen going around Twitter. Basically, this is like the most stunning level of fucking hypocrisy that I have ever seen come out of the mainstream media. Like, the hypocrisy and the hubris. You know, I'm sure you all remember who the outlets were who called the election and have been reporting on it fairly accurately. You know, websites like Project Veritas, who broke the scandal of voter fraud in the DNC. Or Breitbart, who you could make the argument that it was Trump Pravda for a long fucking time. But for the most part, they try to accurately report the news. The Blaze. Well, the Blaze didn't really report anything. They just kind of did their thing. But that's just some of the websites that are being targeted by this fake news thing. And I actually went and looked up the list of websites that are listed as fake news. There's like 130 of them. And most of them are like, okay, you know, this website has .co at the end. So it'll be like drudgereport.com.co. And it's not the real Drudge Report. It's a fake site that's pretending to be the Drudge Report. And it's like, okay, well, that's pretty legit. You know, at least you're letting people know that that's not Drudge. And then there's, of course, websites like The Onion and Clickhole, which are actual fake news sites. That's what they fucking do. They literally make shit up. That's their business. But then they sneak in sites like Project Veritas and Breitbart, and yeah, I could, you know, you could make the argument that InfoWars belongs on that list. But the thing that's concerning most conservative news outlets is that they are going to be censored by this push. And this push is coming from places like Facebook. They're utilizing this list to put up warnings before you click on a link that will show up a little box that say, you know, this website may have misleading information or, you know, outright fabrications or whatever the fuck it actually says. And I can't, like, having followed Breitbart since Gamergate, you know, having read The Blaze with at least reasonable frequency, having kept up with the Project Veritas thing when they were breaking the problems with the DNC and getting people like Robert Creamer fired because of the malfeasance that he engaged in, it's really seeming to me like this is, okay, these are some fake news sites, but these guys are also fake news sites, and we don't like what they say, and we don't like that they ate our fucking lunch during the presidential campaign. So we're going to put them on a list of fake news sites and discredit them in that fashion. But the thing that these companies don't realize is that they have already been discredited. So every article that comes out of CNN, MSNBC, ABC, all of these places, it's all suspect because they so thoroughly burned their credibility in avoiding every single thing that Hillary ever did, Well, not everything. They brought it up, but they tried to downplay it and make it out as not a big deal instead of what it actually was, which was breaking fucking federal law. These sites like InfoWars and Breitbart and Project Veritas are fucking the mainstream media up in the numbers. They're blowing up right now. And according to an article that I saw earlier, fucking, like, some really stupid, innocuous shit, like the Gardening Channel or something like that, gets more hits than CNN in a day. So people really are moving away from the mainstream media to more alternative sources of media, and that's very heartening to see, especially since it has been proven conclusively that the incredibly vast majority of mainstream media outlets are not news sources, they're not journalists, they are the propaganda wing of the Democrat Party. That's what they fucking are. We have in the Podesta emails, in the DNC leak emails, we have evidence that the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign were coordinating with the media to release Hillary-friendly stories. It's fucking proven. They bring this stuff up and then they shun it to the side to make Hillary seem like, she's got some problems, but nothing as bad as what Trump did. Did you hear? Trump said grab him by the pussy and they let you do it? He likes to commit sexual assault. My God, we can't have this fucking rapist be our president. You know, he's in court right now for the rape of a 13-year-old girl, which, by the way, like, and it just falls apart. Like, that shit was rescinded because the bitch didn't have any fucking evidence. And everybody knew it. So I'm very, very happy that the mainstream media is going the way of the dinosaur. They're unable to keep up in this information age. They'd evolved into clickbait and pushing narratives to support their political overlords. And they're gone. They're dead. What is it? 4% of the American population actually trusts the mainstream media now? 4%? Meanwhile, average Joes like me will go to Breitbart, or Paul Joseph Watson, or Milo Yiannopoulos, or Stefan Molyneux, or anybody other than the mainstream media to get our news from. You know, I'll go to The Blaze before I go to CNN any day of the fucking week. But what's really funny about this is that Democrats and liberals, for like 16 years, for the better part of two decades, have been getting their news from an actual fake news show. For those of you who are unaware, The Daily Show is not a news outlet. They take the news and they turn it into comedy. That's what they fucking do. However, they also push a political narrative with their programming. It's obvious that they are left of center and they just spend their entire fucking program shitting on Republicans. And a lot of the time, Republicans deserve to be shit on, okay? I'm not saying that the Republicans aren't shit-worthy. But when you do all of that, and you're very obviously pushing a narrative, you don't get to just come off with the whole, oh, it's just a comedy show. I think Ben Shapiro called it the clown nose routine. So, like, Jon Stewart would get up there, and he would put on his clown nose, and he would make fun of the Republicans for a minute, and then he would get really serious, and the clown nose would come off. And he'll make a very serious point, and people will be like, well, what the fuck, dude? Why are you pushing this shit? And he's like, oh, no, see, clown nose. Here's my clown nose. I'm just a comedian. Ha ha ha. This is all in good fun. People can tell the difference between jokes and being serious, dude. You're not fucking fooling anybody. But the level of hubris in the act of claiming that you get your news from an actual fake news show, and then having the mainstream media being proven to push false stories to discredit their ideological opponents, and saying that Breitbart and, you know, InfoWars and The Blaze and Project Veritas are fake news when they pulled the fucking rug out from under you people on the international stage. Everybody saw it happen. And it wasn't like no cool, cheap magician's trick where you got the wine glass sitting on the table and you pull the tablecloth out from under it and the wine glass is still sitting there. No, this was a big fucking pile of full wine glasses, like tall as your fucking head. And then fucking Paul Joseph Watson and Stefan Molyneux and Glenn Beck and Alex Jones just walked up to the table and they each grabbed the fucking tablecloth and they pulled that shit up and out and just spilled all those fucking, broke all the fucking wine glasses, spilt all that wine every fucking where. And now the media has fucking egg on their face and they're trying to clean it up and save their integrity, but they're doing it in all of the wrong ways. Like the best way that they could do it is I don't remember the guy's name, but he's some famous news angle. Like, you'd recognize him if you see him, but I don't know the guy by name because I don't watch television in general, but mainstream news in particular. And somebody had taken GIFs of him and edited the text to read something along the lines of, okay, America, let's level with each other right now. We lied. We lied a lot. We lied about blah, 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 blah. And there's this big list of things that the mainstream media provably fucking lied about over the course of this election. And if they had come out and done that, if they had actually come out and done that and said, look, we fucking lied to you. We burned our credibility. We shouldn't have done that. We're sorry. We're going to be reporting honestly from now on. And you guys should keep a watch on us to make sure and keep us honest. Then they would have gotten a little bit of a measure of respect back. You know, people would have been watching them and keeping them honest, but if they continued to report the news objectively like they're fucking supposed to, then it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. I mean, it still would have been a really fucking big deal, but there would have been a little bit of bridge building on their part to reestablish credibility with the American electorate. But they didn't fucking do that. Instead, they doubled down, they pushed all of the buttons, they hit all their narrative points, they dropped all of the buzzwords, and for the fucking cherry on top of this shit sundae, they claim that actual legitimate alternative news sites are quote-unquote fake news because they got showed up and they're jealous. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. And I'm so glad that these people are realizing it. They're seeing that they're the dying man crawling through the desert who was stupid enough to not bring, you know, a few weeks worth of water with him, and he's at the end of his rope, he's dehydrated, and he's crawling across the desert, and he sees the vultures swooping down on him, and he knows that his life is about to be over, and his eyes are going to be pecked out and eaten. And that got really fucking dark. But it's that kind of concept. Like, they're the dying man, knowing that their death is coming and that they can't do any fucking thing about it. And rather than actually try and fix the problem, they're doubling down on everything that got them in trouble in the first fucking place. You cannot fucking trust these people. Do not visit their websites. Just leave them. Go to other places. If you're not of the right-wing persuasion, then go find alternative left-wing news sites, preferably not the Young Turks, because they're just as corrupt as the mainstream media. But if you can find reputable, decent left-wing publications to get your news from, then get your news from those places. But just leave CNN and MSNBC and HuffPost and all of these other websites, just leave them alone. Don't encourage them anymore. Don't give their articles are clickbait. And if you click, you're giving them ad revenue. You're giving them an audience. So if you have to use their websites to document something, archive.is. Go to archive.is, grab the URL, archive that shit, and then just circulate the archive link. Don't link back to their site. Don't do it. These people have proven that they don't give a fuck about the truth. They've proven that they don't give a fuck about you or me or honesty or decency or actual journalism or anything that they're supposed to care about. So it's time to bankrupt these fools. It's time to put them out on the fucking street washing car windshields with newspapers. It's time for Sally Cohn to be working at McDonald's to make ends meet, not sitting behind a desk on an internationally syndicated news show where she can be a fucking histrionic liar. And you can tell, this is just one of the evidences that these people know that they're dying and they're desperate to maintain their shred of credibility, but they don't know how to do it, was when Trump decided to blow off the media and go have a steak with his family. They freaked the fuck out for a full day. A full news cycle. These people were bitching and pissing and moaning about how Trump had blown them off and how dare he do this. And you don't have the right to privacy anymore. You're a public figure. And you're supposed to take us with you wherever you go. Why did you leave me? Why did you leave me? Who's that bitch you've been talking to? What's her name? Breitbart? Oh my god, I'm gonna slash that bitch's fucking throat! They're like a fucking delusional ex-girlfriend. Like one of those psychotic ex-girlfriends that fucking stalks you over Facebook and threatens your fucking new girlfriend and shit. That's exactly what they fucking did. They stalked Trump. He blew them off. They stalked his ass to the fucking restaurant and bitched and pissed and moaned about how he wasn't paying attention to them. And then they tried to fucking slash his new girlfriend's tires by putting Project Veritas and Breitbart and The Blaze and The Daily Wire and all of these other conservative outlets that have been accurately reporting the news on this list of fake news sites. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful watching these people self-destruct like this. Just let them keep doing it. Let them keep doing it. As Napoleon Bonaparte said, never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. Never. And speaking of the lying media, there's just something I'd like to do. Razor Fist recently released a video wherein he explained how the Trump phenomenon happened, how Trump won. And at the end of the video, or somewhere around halfway through the video or so, he takes off the sunglasses and he puts away the Razor Fist persona and he actually talks to people. And he says, you know, is it possible that with all of the proven lying that the mainstream media has been doing, is it possible that they've also been lying to you about how horrible of a fucking person that Donald Trump is? Just entertain the possibility that that's, you know, that that might be the case. So, in keeping with that little motif of the mainstream media lying about Donald Trump, this is an article from Advocate.com, which, near as I can tell, they're a LGBT news site. They're an LGBT news site. So they have a article that I'm going to be putting in the description called "Donald Trump Wants to Test Muslim Immigrants on Gay Equality. His new extreme vetting would add an ideological test to his already proposed religious test." So here we go. We're going to just, this is actually kind of long. We're just going to go through a little bit here. We might go through the whole article. But Donald Trump wants to bar any Muslim who supports the death penalty for gays from entering the United States. That's among a long list of reasons he outlined today that a person would be denied entry, or even ordered to leave the country after already immigrating here. "I call it extreme vetting," he told a raucous crowd during a foreign policy speech delivered in Ohio. Trump began the speech by rattling off a list of terror attacks and their casualties worldwide. He included the Pulse shooting in Orlando, saying, "And I'll tell you what, we can never allow this to happen again." His solution is partly to focus on immigration. "A new immigration policy is needed immediately," he said, saying, "The common thread among all terrorist attacks is they have involved immigrants or the children of immigrants. Clearly, new screening procedures are needed." Trump claimed that immigrants from Muslim-majority countries in the Middle East are bringing support for Islamic law, including honor killings for women accused of shaming their families and the death penalty for gays. "There's no question that Islamic law is used in countries to prosecute men and boys accused of gay sex. Iran executed a gay teen just last month, according to Amnesty International, and there are 11 other countries where a person can be put to death by their country for gay sex, often citing Sharia law." Trump said, "We must screen out any who have hostile attitudes toward our country or its principles, or believe that Sharia law should supplant American law. Those who do not believe in our Constitution or who support bigotry and hatred will not be admitted for immigration to our country." He displayed a narrow definition of bigotry and hatred, seeming to apply it only to Muslims. For example, he called for an international conference focused on fighting radical Islam and suggested Russia could be an ally. Meanwhile, Russia prosecutes its own citizens under its gay propaganda law. It has banned adoption by LGBT people, even barring any citizen from a country with marriage equality from adopting Russian orphans. Pride parades in Moscow are in the early years of a 100-year ban. But Trump's ideology test wouldn't be limited to those entering the country. He said dismantling support networks and finding supporters of radical Islam will be the understood mission of every federal investigator or prosecutor in the country. That mission will come with a new Commission on Radical Islam within the United States. He said it will hopefully include moderate Muslims who can explain Islam and find radicals. Trump repeatedly compared his new effort to what was done in the United States to root out communists. So right there, he's not talking about, you know, getting rid of all Muslims. He wants to put Muslims on this board to find and root out radical Islamist terror cells that want to hurt gay people. Those who are guests in our country who are preaching hate will be asked to leave immediately, and if they don't do it, we will return them home, he promised. Some extreme right-wing Christians within the United States have actually supported the death penalty for LGBT people. After the Orlando shooting, these pastors claim the Bible calls for death for gays. It's not clear if an immigrant who cited Christianity to support death for gays would be returned home, since Trump was focused squarely on Islam in his speech. Trump called the distorted view of Islam that drives terrorism a hateful ideology that oppresses women, gays, children, and non-believers. At times, he threatened to be vicious when combating it. He called radical Islam this ideology of death which must be extinguished. My administration will speak out against the oppression of women, gays, and people of different beliefs. Trump implied others would support his Muslim ban and this new ideology test, except that political correctness has replaced common sense in our society. Indeed, the ban is perhaps the single greatest divider between him and his own party. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, for example, called on Trump to eliminate the religious test for immigration. Proposing this new immigration policy builds on statements Trump has made before. After the Orlando mass shooting that left 49 dead at an LGBT nightclub, Trump used a major speech the next day to claim Hillary Clinton isn't a real LGBT supporter. He made the case that his proposed ban on Muslims entering the country is what's really needed to stop massacres like Orlando. Trump pointed out that the killer, Omar Mateen, who was born in the United States, has parents who immigrated here from Afghanistan. The bottom line, quote, the bottom line is that the only reason the killer was in America in the first place was because we allowed his family to come here, Trump said at the time. The FBI has said it can find no direct link between Mateen and ISIS, even though Mateen pledged allegiance to the terrorist leadership during 911 phone calls during the shooting spree. Trump was very clear, however, about his belief that the crime was both motivated by terrorism and hatred for LGBT people, which he blamed on radical Islam. Okay, so... This goes to the, like I said, this article will be in the description. That's all I'm going to read from it right now. I got about halfway through it, but to save time in the podcast, you know, that's who he elected president. The guy who is so concerned about LGBT people being prosecuted by radical Islamist extremists that he is going to institute a ban and a vetting process, an ideological purity test, which I'm no fan of ideological purity tests. But Islam is often a special case, because they make themselves a special case, because Islam can't help but be special. But this is the guy that we elected, guys. He's not going to put gays in internment camps, and he's damn sure not going to let Mike Pence do anything fucking freaky about, you know, re-education or whatever. And to my knowledge, the Mike Pence thing was only... him, okay, so the guy's got a dumb idea, but to my knowledge, he only monetarily supported a group that said they wanted to help people who want to change their sexual preferences. So it's a consensual thing that these people are entering into. Whether they're entering into it through miseducation or guilt or coercion or abuse or whatever, they still entered into it. So it's not like he supports zapping the gay away. So everybody just needs to calm down on the Trump LGBT thing. And so far as the rest of it goes, like, you could call him an Islamophobe, but the problem with Islamophobia is that a phobia is an irrational fear. And it is rational to fear Islam. I'm sorry to tell you progressives and you moderate Muslims out there who actually just come over here and you want to live your lives and you don't fucking want to be bothered and you don't want to put Sharia courts in place of American courts and you just want to be American. I support you. I'm glad that you're here. But you have to understand that your religion is fucking crazy. There's a lot of fucking crazy people in Islam. And I'm not sure if you can find a specific point in the Bible wherein it says you're supposed to kill gay people, But there are parts in the Hadith, I believe it was the Hadith, where it states that homosexuals are to be thrown off the tallest mountain, which in lieu of that, we use a building. Seems reasonable. You got to get up as high as you can. And, you know, if you're in the desert, it's kind of flat. Not a lot of mountains around there. So you build something really high and then you throw the gaze off that. But Trump wants to stop that from happening here. He doesn't want this radical ideology to come here and start killing gay people, like what happened at Pulse. So, is it possible that, compounded with all of the lying the mainstream media has been doing lately, they also lied about Trump's feelings for LGBT people? And women. And black people. I mean, for fuck's sake, the guy made Kellyanne Conway, a woman, a born woman, the head of his fucking presidential campaign. She's the first woman in American history to successfully run a presidential campaign. But you're not going to hear these fucking liberals talking about that shit. You're not going to hear the feminists praising her about that, about being the first woman to do this shit. Because she's a conservative, and fuck her, she doesn't think right. She's committed thought crime, and thus her accomplishments are invalid. Right? I mean, he really must fucking hate women to make a woman the head of his presidential campaign, who led his presidential campaign to victory. And he's considering giving her a post in his administration. Yeah, he really fucking hates women, doesn't he? Come on, guys. Think about this for 5 fucking seconds, man. Stop swallowing the Kool-Aid. Like, I'm not saying that Trump is going to be the best president ever. He might be the worst president ever. He might just be okay. He might be moderately bad. He might be the best president ever, but we don't fucking know. But one thing that we can say is that there's been too much Kool-Aid sipping on both sides of the fucking aisle here. Trump is not anti-gay. Trump is not anti-woman. Trump is not anti-black. The guy's been a Democrat his whole entire fucking life. And I realize that with all of the racism and just flat-out bigotry that the Democratic Party engages in, that's not exactly high praise. But if you want to go with the common narrative that the Democrat Party are the champion of the minorities, despite the fact that women are like 54% of the population, they're not a minority. Nor are they oppressed. But, if you want to go with that common line that the Republicans are the evil, racist, sexist bigots, and the Democrats are just the poor, downtrodden defenders of the oppressed, Trump was a Democrat his whole fucking life. And most people who are Democrats have bought into that swill and think they're doing it for the right fucking reasons. That's Trump. You elected one of your own. Congratulations. You know, we got a centrist in the fucking White House now. Well, in January we will. And, I mean, speaking of what happens in January, like, that first 100 days is going to be really, really crucial to everybody and everything. Like, it's going to set the tone for the rest of 4 years. Now, I don't expect he's going to be able to get everything done that he wanted to in his Gettysburg speech, especially with such milquetoast fucking Republicans as Mitch McConnell on his team, who told the fucking enemy that we're not willing to deploy the nuclear option. You can do whatever you want to us, but we're not going to fucking end it with superior numbers and force. Congratulations, you absolute retard. You revealed your tactics to the enemy. And I agree with what Mark Levin said last week in his radio show. You know, people talking about reach across the aisle. What you need to do is you need to reach across the aisle and grab these people by the fucking collar and put them on the fucking ground and put your boot on their throat and let them know that we're not going to put up with their fucking horse shit anymore. The racist slur doesn't work anymore. The misogynist slur, it doesn't work anymore. Islamophobia is a fucking nonsense term. It makes sense for me to be afraid. Me, personally, me, JimFear138, me, to be afraid of an ideology that wants me dead because I like dick. It doesn't fucking work anymore. You people have played every fucking card in your book. And it's over. So hopefully, Trump is going to actually fix a few things. I'll be happy with just a few things. Just like lower taxes. Actually lower taxes. Especially the corporate tax. And repeal the vast majority of Obamacare. That I'll be fucking happy with. If he doesn't do anything else in his fucking term, I'll consider it, you know, a mild success. But you have to get these fucking that's another thing, is you got to get these fucking milquetoast Republicans like Mitch McConnell into a room. And you got to sit them down. And you got to be like that fucking... This is one of my favorite memes that came out of the election. It was that scene from the movie about the Somalian pirates where the guy goes, you know, look at me. I'm the captain now. That one. And it's Pepe's head on the pirate. And it says, look at me. I'm the GOP now. That's what you got to do. That's the fucking attitude that you got to take with this shit. Not that Donald Trump listens to this, but this is how he should do it. Just you pull these fucking spineless, limp dick retards into a fucking room and you set them down and you go, look, I am the GOP right now. I am the president. I am the guy. We have promises. We have people that are counting on us. We are trying to make this country actually function like a proper republic again. And you are going to get in fucking line or we are going to destroy your political careers. There's absolutely no reason they cannot repeal Obamacare with the majority in the House and the Senate that they have. They have the power now. The fucking nuclear option is there for a reason, you limp dick fucking coward. Use it. Don't sit there and tell the fucking Democrats that, oh, if you filibuster us, we're not going to do anything to fight it. We're just going to let this filibuster go on until we can bring it back up again tomorrow. No. You say, okay, you want a filibuster? Nuclear option. Now, we put it to a vote, and if every fucking Republican in here doesn't vote to repeal Obamacare, it's red wedding time. You gotta get these people in fucking line. And I'm not particularly worried about his cabinet. I think he's gonna pick some good people. He's probably gonna pick some bad people too, but what president doesn't have good and bad elements in his cabinet? You know, there hasn't been a single one that's been perfect, so we're going to take a hit or two, and we're going to get in some hits. So everything will be fine. I'm not going to come out here doomsaying, and the world is ending, and the sky is falling and shit. But one thing that I have noticed is that he's had a lot of people over to Trump Tower who are potential opponents in 2020. Have you noticed that? Ted Cruz? The most unfortunately formed man in politics? He looks plastic, doesn't he? Like, I voted for Ted. I like Ted Cruz. But he looks plastic. He's got them beady little eyes and that plastic face. He looks like, if you ever seen the video for Primus's Winona's Got a Big Brown Beaver, or Winona's Big Brown Beaver, like, they have those cowboy costumes on, and they all look really fucking plastic, and, like, their features are really exaggerated, and you can tell that they've got a lot of makeup on, and it's, like, practical effects and shit. That's what Ted Cruz looks like. He's just got this skeezy used car salesman vibe about him. And like, you listen to him talk, right? You listen to him talk and you listen to what he's actually saying and the conviction in his voice. And he really does believe all of this shit that he's saying. You know, he's not one of these guys who lies about his stance on shit. I mean, the guy fucking stood up in front of the Senate and read Green Eggs and Ham to filibuster a law that no Republican in their right fucking mind should have let pass. So the guy's got conviction. If it wasn't for his unfortunate formedness, you know, he might be where Donald Trump is right now. Donald Trump's just more charismatic. You know, Mitt Romney was there. Who the fuck else? He offered a position to Carson, but Carson declined, which, hey, I don't know why you would decline a position in the president's cabinet when you were actually trying to be the president, and you're now scared of fucking up. Like, what the fuck were you running for, dude? was it all for self-aggrandizement and the money? I think it was. But he's bringing a lot of these people in, and these are the people who could really hurt him in 2020 when he's up for re-election. So he's bringing these guys into his inner circle, and he's making friends with them, and he's keeping his enemies where he can keep an eye on them. Not that they're ideologically opposed necessarily, but the people who have the most, like, if you walk in, and I remember that a certain general actually did this. I wish I could remember who it was, but this is an actual thing that's happened before. But a general walked in, and he just killed the emperor. And all of the other generals were like, oh, shit, what are we going to do now? I think this was from Japanese history. I wish I could recall the specific incident. But they were like, well, shit, what are we going to do now? You know, is he going to kill us? Are we going to have to fight for our lives? Is the food poisoned? What the fuck? And he took these people and he's like, okay, you guys aren't going to be my generals anymore. Okay, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you all a lordship with land and servants and, you know, like governorship. Like he made them governors out on the fucking fringes of the kingdom. And that made them less like that guy had one of the most successful rules of that era simply because he kneecapped his opposition just by being their friend. And that's what Trump is doing right now. He's playing long. He's looking at his opposition for 2020 in the Republican primary specifically. And he's saying, OK, I'm going to give this guy a position here. I'm going to offer that guy a position. I'm going to offer him a position. I'm going to get these people into my inner circle, put them in my cabinet if I can. And then when 2020 comes up, I might, if I want to, I'll be able to run again and get elected again. Because these guys won't be fighting me. It'll be a whole new crop of people that I'll have to deal with. But I know that these guys who are proven dangers won't be there. And proven dangerous in the sense that they could actually give him a run for his money in the primaries. So yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to Trump's presidency. I mean, he's already met with some foreign leaders. You know, England is looking to work with us. We're already on basically friendly terms with Russia. And yeah, Russia's a fucked up place. It's a fucked up state, okay? But isn't it better to work with them and find some kind of common ground from which we can maybe grow and maybe our vastly superior culture will influence theirs in good ways? And maybe they'll stop, like, maybe they'll stop picking on the gays in Russia through our influence. It's a possibility. You know, isn't that better than being at each other's throats all the fucking time? You know, and yeah, Syria is a fucking criminal state. Okay, it is. But, they are also under direct threat of ISIS. And the enemy of my enemy is still my enemy, but that doesn't mean that we can't work together to accomplish a common goal. You know, if... I'll put this in D&D terms, because I'm a fucking nerd like that. But if... There's an evil party, right? An evil party of adventurers and a good party of adventurers. And they're both going after the same dragon horde, right? And they show up at the dragon's lair, and they're about to get into it, and then they realize that they've woken up the dragon. And the dragon is about to kill them all. And the only way that they can get rid of this dragon is to team up and then defeat it and then sort out the differences with each other later. That's kind of what I'm looking at the relationship with Syria as. You know, they're not our friend. They're not our ally. But in regards to ISIS, I would rather have Syria on our side than theirs. That's just my personal opinion. You know, he met with, I can't remember the guy's whole name, but it's Abe from Japan. And he came out and said that he's hopeful and looking forward to working with President Trump. And once again, the media can't help but fucking trip over themselves trying to discredit this shit. Like, it was like, you know, a couple of headlines from HuffPo where they said his meeting with foreign dignitaries was a disaster. And then the very next headline was, you know, Abe of Japan, you know, says he's looking forward to working with President Trump. We're already making America great again, fam. It's time to get on board. And like I said, I was a never Trumper at one point. You know, I knew I didn't like Trump or Hillary. I voted for Ted Cruz because he was the only one that I actually respected at the time. Then I started exposing myself to other perspectives. You know, I started listening to people like Scott Adams and Mike Cernovich. And to an extent, Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and Glenn Beck. And I started thinking about this candidate in other ways. And then the fucking ball dropped. You know, I was already kind of coming around to Trump when he had won the primaries. And I was like, Trump? But I was kind of coming around and seeing how, you know, okay, well, maybe he's not as bad as I thought he was. Maybe he's not as bad as everybody says. You know, like Stefan Molyneux makes very good cases for Donald Trump. Razorfist mentioned his series, The Untruth About Donald Trump, which you should all go and watch. I listened to those podcasts and I heard him break down all of that shit. And it's all of the links are in the description. He's very thorough in his research. And I started rethinking Donald Trump. And then shit started going sideways for Hillary. Like, everything went fucking pear-shaped for Hillary. And the DNC leaks came out, and the Podesta emails came out, and the Comey FBI hearing happened. And I was just like, holy fuck, this is the most corrupt person in politics. This is possibly the most evil human being on the face of the planet. Or at least in America right now. You know, that actually has power to do widespread damage. Not only to America and our republic, but to individual fucking people, as evidenced by the body count. I mean, a fucking journalist who was investigating the Clinton Foundation's ties to a child sex trafficking ring in Haiti just turned up dead under mysterious circumstances not even 2 weeks ago. So I started hearing all this shit come out about Hillary, and I was like, oh my God, we have to stop this bitch. So I would meme ironically about Trump and work my way around mentally to voting for him just on the grounds that he would stop Hillary. It's not Hillary Clinton. You know, I will take the unknown evil of Donald Trump over the absolutely known monstrous evil of Hillary Clinton. That was my thought process. So evidence and reasoned arguments turned me from a never-Trumper into someone who's actually who voted for Trump and is actually pretty hopeful about his presidency. You know, everything seems to be going okay so far. I mean, I know he's not even in the office yet, but they already scrapped the fucking Trans-Pacific Partnership. We're on friendly terms with Syria and Japan and Russia and a couple of other things that Obama had wanted to do, like the pardon for Hillary Clinton. And that's one of the funniest fucking things. Who was it? Was it Jesse Jackson? Said that Obama on his way out should pardon Hillary. And it's like, you do realize what you just said, right? Like, we know Hillary, you just said we know Hillary is a criminal, but we should let her go anyway. That's what that fucking boiled down to. Way to go, dumbass. And then Obama came out and said he's going to wait to do anything until Trump's DOJ is instituted. We're winning so much already. And even fucking Mexico came around and said that, hey, you know, we do owe you guys a lot of money, so maybe we can talk about this wall. Everything seems to be going okay, guys. It's not the end of the fucking world. And Trump's probably going to be an all right president. Probably. Hopefully. But the last thing that I wanted to talk about this podcast is how this recent trend, and maybe this isn't so recent of a trend, but it seems recent to me. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention long enough and I just picked up on it now. But there's this recent trend where you find the absolute fucking dumbest thing that anybody has ever said, you know, that this person has said. You want to discredit this person, so you comb through all of their shit and you find the dumbest thing that they have said. And you put that up, and it's like, this happened with Mike Cernovich, one of the guys that Trump is looking to get into his cabinet right now. I think his General Flynn, I believe is his name, actually went and read Mike Cernovich's book, Guerrilla Mindset, and recommended it to people. So I've seen people who do not pay attention to Mike Cernovich. They do not read Danger in Play. They haven't read Guerrilla Mindset. I mean, neither have I. I've been kind of wanting to, but I don't have a lot of time for reading, and I'd have to get the audiobook. And Mike Cernovich read the audiobook, and I like Mike Cernovich, and he's a very intelligent guy, and you know, he's had a fairly positive influence on my life so far. I don't regret following him on Twitter, put it that way. But I don't know if I can listen to that guy read a book to me. Like, it's nothing against him personally, but that lisp that he's got going on, that adenoidal thing that happened with his mouth, and it's unfortunate, but I don't know if I can listen to that guy read for like 8 hours. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. Maybe I'll just get a copy of Guerrilla Mindset and just keep it in the bathroom or something and read while I'm on the shitter. But you know, he's got this thing about, like, super serum, that he talks about, like, how to get super sperm that will get girls addicted. And it's silly shit. It's really silly shit, you know? But they're acting like that completely discredits him. And nothing that he says is right because, oh, look at this guy. He believes in fucking super sperm. And he's like, you know, don't jack off for a week, eat clean, exercise, and you'll get, that's how you get super sperm. And people are like, okay, dude, what the fuck ever. But that one thing, like, okay, let's take Aaron Clary, for instance. I've been following Aaron Clary for like 3 years now. Right. Ever since Honey Badger Radio first came out, he advertised with them because they were in the Manosphere and he's a Manospherian. So he advertised with them. And that's how I found him. And I read a couple of his books and I started watching his YouTube videos. And there's a lot of really good, like, that dude's YouTube is a treasure trove of information for young people, just in general. Yeah, he's an asshole. It's in the business name, Asshole Consulting. You pay for him to be a dick to you, but to lay down the hard fucking truth. And then he came out with this fucking Return of Kings article about Mad Max Feminist Road, I think was the name of the article. And it was absolutely savaged, just torn apart. And in my opinion, it deserved to be. It was kind of dumb. Yeah, Mad Max is kind of a piece of Americana, and it had a big influence on American culture. So he's not wrong there, but it's Australian. That's not an American institution right there. Mad Max is not an American franchise. It's an Australian franchise. And, you know, Eve Ensler didn't seem to have a whole lot to do with the production of the movie. Her role in production was more coaching the female actors, or the actresses, female actors, what the fuck am I talking about? The actresses in the psychology of rape victims and, like, women who have been sold into sex slavery and that kind of thing. So that seems to be her major fucking contribution. Everything else was the original guy. So it was silly. And then people just started bagging on Aaron Clary, like, this guy can't possibly have any good information to give anybody ever. And that's not fucking true. Like, I listened to Mike Cernovich's podcast, and he actually fucking gave me some really good advice. Not me personally, but just through the podcast, I picked up on. So he talks about having a weekly call every Monday with this person who's become a friend of his through these calls. And they'll talk, and they'll network, and they'll come up with ideas. And, you know, it's just a way to kind of organize your thoughts and get plans out with another person. And I've been looking at, like, Dimension Bucket Magazine, and it's been on and off the rails since we started. And it's gotten a little bit worse since Bucket moved out of his house. And now him and Connor are in physical, like, they're able to see each other every day. So they'll go off and make plans, and I'm sitting here on the literal other side of the country, and they'll kind of leave me out of it. So I listen to this podcast where Mike Cernovich is talking in detail about these conversations that he has with this guy every week. And I'm like, well, maybe we should do that with Dimension Bucket Magazine. You know, we'll just have even if we don't have anything new to talk about, we can just actualize plans and get down to the nitty-gritty and plan further into the future than we already have, or just bullshit about how well everything's going or whatever. But we need to meet every week to make sure that we're all on the same page and that we're all on top of this and that nobody's left out of the loop. And I brought this up to Bucket, and he was like, yes, absolutely. That's a great idea. Let's fucking do that. We're going to start having weekly meetings so that we can get this business off the ground properly. So my point here is that just because somebody says something stupid, or Ben Carson is another example. Dude's one of the most brilliant surgeons on the face of the fucking planet. Dude's hyper intelligent. He performed a surgery that everybody else says was fucking impossible. He was the first guy in human history to perform this surgery. So he's not a dummy. He's not stupid. He's not retarded. He also happens to think that pyramids are used to store grain. So you can be like a really intelligent person and then be really fucking dumb in other areas. Like Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is insanely intelligent when it comes to evolutionary biology. Social interaction? Not so much. I've seen that guy get trolled on Twitter way too often. You know, or Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, very intelligent guy. Constantly ruins everybody's fucking childhood. Thanks, asshole. You know, you don't have to be such a dick on Twitter, Neil. All I'm saying. But I would still go to Mike Cernovich for advice on how to implement business ideas and just go out and do the things that I want to do. And I would still go to Aaron Clary for financial advice and just general life advice. And I would still go to Ben Carson if I needed a surgery. And I would go to Neil deGrasse Tyson if I needed information about astrophysics, or Richard Dawkins if I needed information about evolutionary biology. You know, saying one stupid thing or believing in one stupid thing doesn't make you wrong about everything. It really doesn't. Like, Bill Nye says stupid shit all the fucking time, but he's probably a pretty decent engineer. Probably. I've never seen the guy in action, but that's what his degree's in. So I guess my point here is, just because somebody says one stupid thing, and I'm just bringing this up because it's been bothering me for so long, just because somebody says one stupid thing doesn't mean that their whole shit is completely invalid. You know, like, I don't like Rushvi at all. Not a fan. You know, I don't really have anything personally against the guy. I don't think he's guilty of sexual assault or any of that shit. I'm not a fan of the guy. I just don't particularly like him. Just something about him rubs me the wrong way. Probably the fact that he's a pickup artist. But that's another conversation. But I'm sure that there's something that Rushvi knows more about than I do that his advice would actually be really helpful on. Maybe he actually does know how to fuck a bunch of chicks. Maybe he has cracked the code, quote-unquote, of female psychology. Maybe he has. I don't know. I don't feel like giving him money to find out. I'm not going to buy his books. But just because I don't like the guy and just because I think he says some scuzzy shit doesn't mean that I think that he's wrong about fucking everything. Like, Onision. And anybody who knows what Onision is will know exactly where I'm coming from with this, because that dude is a fucking train wreck. But he's been wrong about almost every single thing that he's opened his mouth on, right? Almost every single thing. However, he's an intactivist. He doesn't like circumcision. And he's right! I actually had to go in and defend Onision at the height of the fucking shit that was going on with him like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I actually had to step in and fucking defend this fool because people were making fun of him for being anti-circumcision when they didn't know shit about the subject. They were just as uninformed and wrong-headed about it as your average fucking American. Turns out Onision actually knew something that they didn't. You know, that doesn't mean listen to everybody. You know, I don't tune into Roosh's podcast. I don't read Roosh's books and shit like that. But if I happen to come across something that someone's like, oh, hey, you should read this. You know, so like, let's just say, I don't know, Cappy and I get to be friends. You know, Aaron and I get to be friends somehow, rather than just, you know, business acquaintances. And he's like, oh, hey, you should check out this article. And he tosses me like Return of Kings article is written by Roosh. Okay, I'll read it. There might be something in here that I can use. You know, that's genetic fallacy. You know, this person is wrong because they're that person. A broken clock can be right twice a day, you know. So just stop trying to pull this shit, guys. It's not legitimate. You take one screen cap of this dude's whole entire fucking Twitter and blog and books, one screen cap of one tweet that he wrote, and it's just completely discredited everything about him. And I'm not necessarily defending any of these people, because they're more than capable of defending themselves. It's just this trend that has been going on of, oh, this person that I don't like in general said this one stupid thing, therefore they're wrong about everything else. I don't know. Shit just bothers me. But anyway, I've been going on for about an hour, and my throat is starting to get all scratchy. So I will catch you guys next week. I hope that you guys have a wonderful weekend. I hope that you had a good week. I hope that you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving for people who celebrate that holiday here in America. And yes, it is Thanksgiving. Fuck your trying to corrupt the holiday and shit like that. It's fucking Thanksgiving. Be thankful you live in a country where they're not cutting your head off because you cut your hair short, bitch. But anyway, I'm out, guys. Hopefully we'll be back to regular content next week, but I've got overtime at work. Somebody quit again, so it's kind of up in the fucking air right now, but I'm just going to concentrate on getting this fucking audiobook done for Cappy, and then working on my own audiobook and getting Dimension Bucket Magazine back on track. So busy week I've got ahead of me, but thanks for tuning in, guys. Love you all very much. Peace out. Mwah.